Westpac Bank says many households and businesses are struggling with higher interest rates and costs, and will be in the coming months. They'll be challenging. Westpac yesterday reported a $477 million net profit for the first half year, up 11%, but lower than the previous 6 months, and with a significant one-off in it. Westpac Chief Executive Catherine McGrath says a sluggish economy, weakness among key trading partners such as China, and a tense geopolitical environment are all contributing to uncertainty across the economy. Westpac's been contacting 51,000 home loan customers due to refix at higher interest rates, as well as more than 1,800 customers it's identified as at most risk of financial stress. Catherine McGrath says the bank's also focused on the growing issue of scams and fraud, which cost victims across the sector $200 million last year. That's just the ones reported. She says confirmation of payee technology will be rolled out later this year, which will help prevent losses.
So customers are more resilient than we were expecting, but we think the next 6 months will be continue to be tough. And with unemployment not peaking until next year, and the OCR not expected to come down until early 2025, we do think it will be tough. But we're being proactive in supporting our customers. And if anybody's worried, please get in touch so that we can help.
51,000 have come off lower interest rates to much higher rates in the last 6 months. Do you know how many more will over the next 6 months?
So only 22% of our customers are on a fixed rate of less than 5%. So most people have coped and done really well with the step up that they've already seen. They've probably got one more to go, but it will be a smaller step up than the ones that they've already experienced.
How many customers have you identified as being at risk of financial stress, and what are you doing?
So several thousand. What we're doing is we're looking at any data that we've got to see if we can identify anybody who we think the combination of either their cash inflows or their outgoings is going to cause them a problem. And by calling them early and before that fixed rate step up happens, we're able to put more tools and mechanisms in place to really help them, which is why talking to your bank as soon as you start to worry is a really important thing to do.
So does the bank do that itself? It looks at numbers and proactively contacts these customers?
Yes, anybody that we can see that we've got data that's indicating that they might get themselves into difficulty, we are proactively calling them. However, people will know themselves if there's more of a risk coming up, which is why if customers start to worry, not waiting for the bank to call, but calling us is a really great thing to do.
What can you do at the moment for people in different kinds of distress? Obviously, some will have mortgage stress, others might have business loan stress. What can you do?
So we can look at the length of term. We can look at whether they can go interest only. We can look at whether there's budgeting support and advice that we can wrap around them. Sometimes there's payment holidays. So there's a range of tools that each bank has to help their customers. And the sooner we can talk, the better.
When you look at your own performance, financial performance, net profit, $477 million, up 11%. What are the factors in that, and what kind of a result is it, Catherine?
So the headline figure that you're talking about reflects primarily the reversal of a provision that we took for Cyclone Gabrielle. So if you look at the underlying profit, that actually went down 8%. And that's reflecting two things. It's reflecting the level of competition in the New Zealand market, particularly on term deposits. It's also reflecting an increase in expenses. And that's based on the factors that our customers are experiencing too, where we've got wage inflation, we've got supplier inflation, and then we've been investing heavily in our technology to make sure that we're keeping New Zealanders safe.
We'll come to that.
So I think we're in a I think we're in a good resilient position to help customers, either whether they're in financial difficulty and need support, or whether they see opportunities for growth in the year ahead.
Still a healthy net interest margin for you, though down, of 2.09%. That's the difference between what you lend at and what you pay on deposits. What is that forward track?
So I think the level of competition means that we could see that get squeezed further. There's a number of factors that go into it, and obviously what's happening with wholesale rates, which isn't necessarily driven or linked to the OCR, is important as well. And those wholesale rates can be impacted by things that are happening offshore. So as we all know, it's quite a geopolitical complexity is happening at the moment. And so the ability to read what's going to happen on those forward rates can be pretty challenging.
So the higher you have to borrow on the wholesale markets, the tighter that margin is. Okay. You mentioned investment in trying to keep customers safe. You know this is a big issue for New Zealanders with a lot of focus on it at the moment. What is Westpac doing specifically with respect to protecting customers against very sophisticated scams and fraud?
So we're investing in our technology to help us find the payments that customers don't want to go through. So millions of payments go through every day. One of the things that we have to do is try to identify out of those millions of payments which ones may customers not want to go through. So we've been investing in tools. There's one called BioCatch, and we were the first New Zealand bank to put that in. And that takes a lot of data points from the way that you input transactions to try and understand whether you're doing it under pressure, whether the pace of making the payment is different. So it's just another example of a tool to try and identify the payments that we don't want to go through.
Would it identify, say, where a large amount or proportion of the holdings that a customer has with you is being moved in one or in rapid transactions, for example? Would it flag that?
So there's a range of different tools that do different things, and trying to find unusual patterns is a critical part of what those tools do. I think the thing that's a real challenge and the thing that we want to do as New Zealanders is make New Zealand the hardest place for those criminals to turn up to.
It's one of the easiest at the moment, isn't it? It's one of the easiest, isn't it, Catherine?
It all depends on how you look at it and measure it. But I think there's a, you know, we're a small country, and that means that we can work together better to protect New Zealanders. And so I think there's a number of initiatives that we need to be doing across Aotearoa rather than just in the banking system. The banking system has more work to do, and the banks are working closely to make that happen. But what we'd really love is to stop it at the root cause. And there's legislation, for example, that's gone in at the UK, which is requiring social media companies to tackle those advertisements that are false and misleading and to take them down faster. So really tackling it at the root cause and making Aotearoa the hardest place in the world for criminals to target New Zealanders is a really important thing for all of us to do.
When we've done that, it'd be great if Google and Facebook would pay us for our journalism too, Catherine, but that's what you're dealing with at that level. But can we look at the banks and others specifically? Because it looks like progress is being made on something like verification of account, right? And matching account and name and number, which has been in Australia, I think, for 5 years and in Europe for 10 years. Where are we at with finally getting the banks to have a system, a shared system on that?
So the New Zealand banks are making good progress on confirmation of payee. And what that will do is when you put in a sort code, an account number and a name, it will tell you whether it's a perfect match, whether it's not a match at all, or whether it's somewhere in between. And that's an important step forward for the banking industry to make. The thing that's important to note, though, is it's not going to be a silver bullet, because I've seen scams where customers believe that they are paying to an overseas bank, but they've been persuaded by the criminal that they need to send the money to a domestic bank for a cooling off period. And so confirmation of payee will help. But the reason that getting to that root cause is really important is that we can be persuaded to do things and we can believe a story that somebody tells us. And confirmation of payee won't necessarily prevent it when we've been pulled that far into a very sophisticated loop.
Will it prevent the situation, though? And we had one case recently of a customer physically going into a bank, talking to the teller, saying, I want to be sure this is going where I think it's going. So where a good deal of customer care is involved, will it make it a heck of a lot easier to have confidence that you are depositing the money with the often big name organisation you think you're depositing it with?
Yes, if the payment is going to the same name or not the same name that the customer thinks, It will definitely really help on that.
Okay.
The thing that worries me is that criminals are really sophisticated, and as we change our controls, they change too. So that persuasion of it's okay, it won't match, don't believe what the bank tells you, is something that the criminals are really, really good at doing. So the banks need to do more, which we are. Confirmation of payee should be rolling out prior to Christmas, which is great. But everybody being really aware that if somebody tries to persuade you to move money, if they tell you not to answer questions truthfully, if they put pressure on you to pay money, those are all warning signs that should make you really stop and think and engage somebody else to help you work it through.
Where are the banks at with the fact that they are harbouring mules? Clearly, one imagines unknowingly, who are part of this offending. There have been cases where a person's acted in this role, been able to do it again and again using the same bank account. How proactive are the banks on endeavouring to identify New Zealand-based mules as part of these international scams?
So the banks have put out something called, or built something called an anti-scam centre, and the whole purpose of that is to rapidly share information about mule accounts. So that means that if Westpac identifies an account with another bank, or another bank identifies an account with Westpac that's suspected as a mule, that information gets shared, and it means that the banks are on alert about that account. What's tricky, though, is that some of those mule accounts, one could have been a legitimate account operating in a legitimate way for a long period of time, or two, those mules could have accounts at a number of different banks. And at the moment, what we're able to share is the sort code and account number. And I'd like us to be able to share more so that we can get to any networks of mules even faster. So having government agencies involved in that anti-scam centre will really help. And it will take it from where we are today to the next level, which would be brilliant.
Does that require any kind of legislative change? What would it require to be able to rapidly share information about highly suspect accounts and their operators?
Some of it would require, because privacy rules are obviously an important part of what keeps New Zealanders safe too. And so I think just understanding the balance and the level of suspicion is important, but having governments, both police and enforcement agencies, take part in that will really help that go at great pace.
Do the banks have, or is there somewhere, a complete register of verified accounts used by bona fide financial services providers? Because we know some of these scams have used some very big and commonly known names as part of their psychological convincing of customers that you allude to. But is there a shared register that everyone, banks and customers, can have confidence in?
I think confirmation of payee on domestic accounts will really help on that, because then it will be able to verify, are you paying who you think you are paying? In terms of international banks, honestly, I'm not sure, not anything that I'm particularly aware of.
All right. And you mentioned also about bringing other players into this, and particularly those who run scam sites. Again, they're the big international players often, and they are a challenge to work with. But what about the likes of the telcos, domestic telcos, where people are attempting to scam, via phones, for example?
Yes.
Is there a cooperation happening there, and what progress is being made?
So there are good conversations happening with the New Zealand telcos, which is really good, and that's been led and facilitated through the New Zealand Bankers Association. So I can see progress happening there. I think the area that's more challenging, to your point, is some of those global companies and whether they're prepared to step up. What we've seen happen in the UK is legislation has been passed, and that legislation is requiring some of those global companies to really step up and take down false and misleading advertising and links far faster than they're doing today. And I think that's a really important thing that we should be pushing for in Aotearoa as well, Because as I was saying, we need to make New Zealand one of the hardest places for criminals to attempt to take our money rather than make us a soft target.
And that would require legislation matching what the EU's doing. It may be a challenge to bring to bear the sorts of fines and sanctions the EU is capable of. But would it take legislation to at least morally match that requirement here?
Yes, and I think that legislation is possible. The other thing that the government ministers are good at doing is they're very good at sending, for example, a letter to banks, clearly setting out some expectations. And so I think there's a number of steps that we would love to see happen that says, in the same way that the government is quite rightly putting pressure on banks to say, are you doing everything that you should do? We'd love to see the government put pressure on all parts of the ecosystem, and also for the government and those enforcement agencies to help us become part of the solution and part of how we best keep New Zealanders safe.
Catherine McGrath, who is Westpac's Chief Executive